Welcome to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood with your host, Angela Jones. Presented by Brighter Day Law, listen to the stories of the people who make Colorado Springs a great place to live and make our world better every day. We want to give back to those who give so much to us.
Good afternoon. It's another Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, sponsored by Brighter Day Law, and I'm your host, Angela Jones. We're here today meeting one of our neighbors, Carissa Woodard. She owns a business, an organizing business here in Colorado Springs called Grace to Organize. Welcome, Carissa.
Thanks, Angela. I'm excited to be here.
I'm super excited that you're here, too. I think we first met when you came in and really helped me in a pinch when I first moved. And so I reached out to you because it was kind of an interesting story how you had gotten into doing what you're doing. And so I wanted to see if you... you know, could share us a little bit more about how what you do is really a service to your clients. So welcome.
Cool. Thank you. I love sharing about my business because it's really just a reflection of me. I've been organizing since I was a little kid. I remember being 4 years old and repositioning my grandma's pantry, you know, her canned goods. And so it's something I was always good at. And it's kind of funny when you have a natural talent for something, you assume everybody else does too. And I've been in business almost 4 years. It'll be 4 years in September. And I have just seen the need more and more for people needing organizing and decluttering help because they don't find that it's natural for them. And they don't want to do it, and they don't have the time to do it, or whatever it is. So I decided, well, I'm just going to take this natural talent and go share it and bless other people and start a business. So that's what I did.
Well, I think it's really interesting where you're talking about natural talents and coming alongside other people because, you know, our program here is really about helping professionals who you don't typically think of as a helping professional. But I know that, you know, for instance, recently my in-laws relocated and they downsized after, well, it was 30 years in one home and then another 20 years in another home. Wow. And when they moved, you know, into their retirement home, they try to get rid of things themselves and they still ended up with so much. And I know that's kind of a common occurrence, you know, with people, you know, with so many military folks in Colorado Springs or just people moving, transitioning, or I think we were talking about like you pick up this thing and you move from one season of your life to another season and it's all this extra stuff. So, you know, do you run into that a lot?
Oh, for sure. It's interesting how people's lives change so quickly and so often, and they don't really stop to think about it. Oh, this has changed and my stuff needs to change with it. The pandemic was an interesting, you know, time for everybody. Right. And they started realizing, wow, my kids are at home now. I need to find a place for them to do school. I didn't have to do that before.
Right.
Or I'm at home now and I need a workspace away from the kids because they're going to be on Zoom. And just like, you know, you don't expect those things to happen, but you have to transition with it and change your stuff so that it makes sense for you. So, you know, that's one example. But I remember helping this guy who lost his wife of 30 years and his kids and himself were grieving, of course. And he's like, I don't know what to do with her stuff. I mean, and so he's like, well, you're not emotionally involved. You can come in neutrally and kind of help me make these decisions and I don't have to put that burden on my kids. And his life changed and his stuff needed to change with it. So there's all sorts of scenarios, but yes, I've seen that.
Well, and I know you said, you know, maybe your client remarked that you're not emotionally involved, and I don't think you're not emotionally involved with the stuff, but you do get emotionally involved with the people you help, don't you?
Well, yeah, I don't know the best way to say it, but I do love hearing people's stories. And, you know, organizing is great, at least the way I've set up my business, because I'm working side by side with people. And so we're finding stuff and they're telling me stories and I'm sharing my life with them. And so we really become friends in a lot of cases because we talk about our, you know, favorite things or our family or whatever. So, yeah, I do get emotionally involved with my clients. It's funny, yesterday I had two sessions. both with older women, mm-hmm. and I left their house. They each had given me fresh cut flowers. And oh, I'm like, wow. I cried at the second lady's house. I'm like, how blessed am I? But these people genuinely love and care for me. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's awesome. So I show up and do my best to bless them. And then I leave with arms full of flowers and,
and other things.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. It's awesome.
I know you were talking earlier about like how, you know, people are clearing things out and you're the person that's there when they're clearing it out and you end up with all kind of goodies to take home.
I do. Yeah. I mean, I take things to donate for people. I'm like, I'm happy to do that. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they're like, oh, honey, this would fit you. You should try it on. So I do. And then I'm like, wow, thanks so much. So I do end up with some cool stuff. But other stuff, yeah, I take to donate because I have to, you know, keep myself decluttered too. So
Right. Absolutely. So you said you all talk about some of your favorite things. What are your favorite things?
I love reading, mm-hmm. and I love my books. I just love having books and buying books, and I love words.
Right. Isn't there something like really just kind of special about paper? I mean, paper books. I mean, I get it. We've got audiobooks and the Kindle and everything. Mm-hmm. But I've got stacks like of books like by my bedside and on the bookshelf. And they have to be the paper. I don't know. There's something just about the feel, the smell.
Yeah. And they're part of your decor, too. At least for me, they are. Like, it just looks nice to have a stack of books somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's intriguing. People come over. They're like, ooh, what are you reading? And it just starts so many conversations. So I tell my clients, they apologize for having too many books. And I'm like, oh, no, don't. You can't talk to me about that because I love them too.
I don't need that kind of negativity in my life.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So, and I like hiking. That's another thing that, you know, comes up with some of my clients. They like to be outside and they move to Colorado because it's beautiful. And I tell them that I'm a native and
So you're from Denver.
Still exploring.
Yeah. You're from Denver originally.
Yep. I was born in Denver. Moved here, like, I think it's got to be 8 years by now. I keep saying seven, but I just love it. It's beautiful.
You moved down to the Springs from Denver?
From Denver, yep.
Oh, I got you. Mm-hmm. You still have family here in town or in Colorado?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So all my family's in either Wheat Ridge or Broomfield. So an hour, 2 hours away. I go visit them when I can. Sometimes I even have clients up in Denver. Mm-hmm. So I make a family trip out of it, you know, stop here, stop there, see my best friend who still lives there. I actually have two best friends that live there. So it's great. It works out.
Right. So you were talking about like some of your favorite books, like your clients ask you what you're reading. So what are you reading these days?
Right now on my Kindle, I'm actually reading 1954. I can't remember the author's name. Forgive me. That's okay. But I read every night before bed to help me sleep. That's my Kindle. And then during the day, if I'm reading, I read paper books. Right. So, I have like three paper books reading right now.
I always have kind of one, another going, all at different different levels and things like that. Yeah. What about your favorite hikes down here or even around Denver?
My favorite hike of all time is the incline. Mm-hmm. I can't get enough of it. Last year, I only got to go three times because it was shut down or they were only letting so many people on at one time. I don't know if you knew this, but they average 1,000 visitors a day for the incline. And I thought, I didn't know that till I Googled it during the pandemic. And I thought, why are they even bothering filtering people through? There's not that many. No,
there
a lot
are.
Of people go.
Right.
So, that's my favorite one. But I even just like walking around my neighborhood. I just want to be outside and get exercise. So
have you been able to do the incline so far this year?
No, I haven't. I planned one and then it snowed. My friend Holly and I.
It's May.
Yeah. This was in April and I was like, okay, we might be able to sneak one in. So we planned it. And then, of course, the day before, it just poured down with snow. So
do you go, you know, up for time when you do the incline?
Usually the first one I do every year, I'm like, don't put any number on it. Mm-hmm, just get to the top and come back down. But Holly, my friend that I love hiking with, is a personal trainer.
Oh, okay.
And when I started going with her, she was like, oh, you can go way faster than you've been going. It was taking me an hour and a half to get up and down by myself. And oh wait, no, an hour and a half, no, an hour to get to the top. That's right. What it was by myself. And she was like, you can do it way faster. So we started doing it where she would go, and my goal was to keep her in sight, which of course I could never do because she's right. tiny and super mm-hmm. fit. But it kept me going faster than I thought I would. And last year I got my fastest time ever, which was 46 minutes. I was so wow. proud. I cried when I got to the top.
Is like, that running or walking up?
It's walking as fast as you possibly can.
Right.
But of course the last third, your legs are screaming and you're like, I don't know if I can even keep walking.
Like once you hit the false summit, that's the one mm-hmm. that kills me is yeah. the false summit. Because mm-hmm. you think, oh, you're almost there. And then you're not almost there.
No. And it gets steep. Right, and you're like, right. One time I remember checking my stopwatch and I was seeing, oh my gosh, I'm going to beat my fastest time. So I started running.
Really?
There were like, I don't know, 60 steps left, but my legs have never felt so heavy
really
in my life trying to run after doing basically the whole incline. It was funny, but, and then I passed some guy. I didn't even look at him or acknowledge him at all. And I was like crawling, but I beat my time.
That's awesome.
I was aggressive about it, but sometimes it's nice to just go and not worry about well you're doing.
Do you go back down or do you do Bar Trail?
I do Bar Trail.
Bar Trail Road. Mm-hmm. And you yeah. run that or?
I have before, right. but I'm like, I like to look at the scenery right. and I don't feel the need to be that aggressive after.
Right after.
Yeah.
Well, so. I think if I made it up the incline in 40 some minutes, I don't know that I think my goal is usually an hour, like uh-huh. do it under an hour.
That's a good goal.
That's kind of how I do. But yeah. I mean, I'm one of those that, you know, when you see the guy running up and then yeah. running back down and yeah. then running up and then running back down, I'm like, this is not right.
Right.
But I'm a sea level girl. I'm originally from Florida.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know what it's going to take because we've been here almost 8 years also.
Wow.
I don't know what it's going to take for me to finally be like, yeah, I'm high altitude acclimated entirely, at least running the Bar Trail. Yeah. I mean, running up and down the incline. But yeah, I'd like to go, I like to do the Bar Trail too, mm-hmm. but I kind of mosey mm-hmm. up the incline and then usually run.
Oh, you're the opposite. Trail. That's funny. Yeah.
Well, it's easier. Well, it's kind of easier. This is true. It's easier for me to run down
yeah.
than to try to run up
yeah.
and everything. But I also like to turn around and look back.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Those
and
views.
Check it out mm. and talk to people mm. and the pets and all of that kind of thing. First time we did it, we went up to the quote-unquote halfway point, uh-huh. which I think is more than halfway.
It's a little further than half, more yeah. halfway.
But we went up to the halfway point. My daughter went with us,
uh-huh.
and she was practically in tears. You know, she's like, oh, this is terrible, whatever. Now she's a little bit older, and, I mean, she's like, bye, Mom.
know, I love it.
Here I am just still loping along, you know.
That's funny.
You know, back at the back. But, you know, it's fun stuff. It's good.
Yeah. yeah. Well, I tell people, I've taken people up the incline for their first time so many times.
Right.
Because I love it, and they need somebody to do it. And I'm like, just make it to the top.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. I mean, and even if you only make it to the halfway point, if that's your goal, just keep going.
Well, and I think that's that kind of ties in, like, you know, with the, again, to kind of the work you do. It's mm-hmm. like that, you know, it does. If you come alive, someone's with you
yeah.
through the process, mm-hmm. even the hardest stuff, if you're taking it one step at a time and someone else is there with you,
yeah.
it makes it, I don't know, just a lot more doable, mm-hmm. you know?
100%.
Yeah. You mentioned a little earlier about like you have to keep yourself mm-hmm. decluttered and mm-hmm. organized. What are your top tips or mm-hmm. the top, you know, ways that on an ongoing basis mm-hmm. you do that?
Well, I've thought a lot about why I love organizing, uh-huh. why I'm good at it. And mostly what I've noticed is just that I make a habit of it. Mm-hmm. So I actually started thinking about what you could call that. And I came up with micro-organizing. You know, use the word micro with other things. And I thought, well, that's basically what I do. Anytime I'm in my house and I notice that something could be better or different or consolidated,
right.
I just do it right away. And it's 2 to 5 minutes, maybe 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I do that consistently throughout the year. Whereas where other people get in trouble is they put something off for weeks, months, years, sometimes decades.
Right.
And then it's just overwhelming. The main difference between myself and another person is probably just that I like organizing, so I do it more often.
Right.
It's not like some magical, like, unattainable thing. It's just consistency. So one of my practical tips with that is to set a timer. So take 5 to 10 minutes every day or every week, whatever you can manage, and do something that helps you be more organized.
Right.
And you'll get a lot done over time, more than you think you will.
Right.
So that's my favorite thing to tell people. But nobody is immune from needing to organize. So you can't avoid it, basically.
This is Angela Jones. You're listening to A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood. We're with Carissa Woodward of Grace to Organize today. Have you heard of the, you know, I'm sure you have, the Kondo. Is it Marie Kondo?
Marie Kondo.
Marie Kondo.
Yeah.
So do you employ any of those types of techniques or something similar?
Yeah. So I love Marie Kondo because she's cute and sweet and kind, and she just has this gentle spirit. Her thing is, does this bring you joy? Which I think is a great thing to ask, but I tend to be a little bit more practical and just say, like, does this have a purpose? That's probably my version of it. Mm-hmm. I tell people organizing is knowing what you own, why you own it, and where to find it.
Right.
It's really that simple. Your stuff is there to help you, but it's not going to help you if you can't find it when you need it.
Right.
So we're just looking at people's stuff practically and saying, when was the last time you used this? Who gave it to you? How much did you pay for it? When do you think you'll use it again? Who else in your home uses it, so we know where to store it?
Right.
Things like that. And people seem to receive that pretty well. It makes sense to them. But some people do practice the, does this bring me joy? You know?
Right.
But I think of my favorite show, Gilmore Girls. There's a scene where they actually mention Marie Kondo.
Right.
And Lorelai's mom had just lost her husband and decided to declutter her home. And Lorelai says to her mom, nothing's going to bring you joy right now. You just lost your husband.
Right.
And when you think about it that way, you're like, okay, I'm going to try to remove the emotion as much as possible because emotions change.
Right.
So that's why I'm a little bit more practical with it.
Okay.
But Marie Kondo has helped, I don't even know how many people. So.
Right.
Yay for her. That's awesome.
I know. I know. I always thought that was kind of neat. I thought she does. She really has this really kind and gentle way about her.
Yeah.
And you can get to a point in anything when there's a big task. I always, this is one of the tips and tricks that, you know, I've picked up over the course of years in terms of facing a big task, which is, you know, I always ask, you know, how do you eat an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one bite at a time.
Yeah.
You know, you just take a bit off. So I like the idea of like setting that timer, because you can do anything for 5 minutes.
Yes.
You know, so if you've got some area of anything, if you've got paperwork to put together or paperwork to organize or whatever, if you set that timer for 5 minutes, like, can you do 5 minutes on this? And if you've done that 5 minutes, maybe you'll be energized to do five more minutes. And, you know, as you keep kind of putting one foot in front of the other, knock that stuff out.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering, you had mentioned your grandma, you started like organizing your grandma's pantry. What's your favorite memory about your grandma? Is it her pantry? Is that your favorite memory there?
Well, I love that I have that in my, you know, memory bank of me doing that. I picture the pantry, you know, I picture the cans. But when I think of my grandma, I think about her garden.
Yeah,
she loves gardening, loves being outside. She loved sunbathing, you know.
Ooh.
We lived in North Carolina for a few years when I was a kid, and we would just hang outside all day. She had this little kid pool on the covered patio, and she'd put the radio in the window with the window open so it'd come through the screen.
Right.
And we'd listen to country music, and I'd play in the pool all day. Like,
oh, wow.
Sunrise to, you know, sunset. It was either the pool or I'd run through the sprinkler, and she'd be out there gardening. She had these, I think they were zinnias, I don't know, colorful, beautiful, and they just grow and flourish all over. And I have a picture somewhere of me holding one like this, you know, and it's just, I love that. I love the outdoors, so.
Yeah, so that you think you got that from her and being out there as often,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, I never made that connection, but yeah. That would actually make
like
sense.
Like really good memories there.
Yeah. So
and that was your Fayetteville, right?
Mm-hmm.
You told me you were a military kid?
Yep. My dad was in the Army stationed at Fort Bragg. Uh-huh. So we were in Fayetteville until 98, and then we mm-hmm. moved back to Colorado. So I've got the mountains in me, but the country yeah. and... I like it.
Yeah. So did your grandma move here with you mm-hmm. also? Oh, with your whole family.
Oh, yeah. We're all here now. Oh,
that's
nobody's
really
left
awesome.
There.
Yeah. Yeah, that's neat. Mm-hmm. All right. And do you remember like any country songs that stand out from that time for you?
Oh, my gosh. my mind went in several directions, but I'm just remembering I had a little karaoke machine.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, the song Achy Breaky Heart was so popular. And I remember my mom got the video camera and was like filming me through the crack of the door because I was singing, "Don't tell my heart." And like, she must have thought I was adorable and got the camera. And I remember seeing her through the crack of the door, and I just froze. And she goes, "Carissa, keep singing." And I just would not. But that's what I think of. Achy Breaky Heart or I Like It, I Love It by Tim McGraw.
I like it. I love it. I want some more of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's so nostalgic for me to listen to country music.
That is so funny. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny you're mentioning that because, I'm a little bit older than you are. And I remember I was like maybe 6 or 7 years old. Mm-hmm. And we had one of these, the record players that was in the big console, which you probably going into people's homes as often as you do. You've probably seen those, you know, like with the old timey radio station mm-hmm. with the actual record player
yes.
inside the piece of furniture.
Uh-huh.
And so, we had Elvis LPs, like Elvis Presley LPs, mm-hmm. and I used to like sing and dance to Jailhouse Rock, you know, and one time, I don't think there was any camera because the camcorder wasn't sort of the thing, but my dad had this, you know, the Polaroid camera with the flash uh-huh. bulb that it would turn and flash. And so he took a picture of me with the flash, which caught my eye, you know, just, I guess, singing to the Jailhouse Rock, and then they, you know, were kind of laughing, and I wouldn't sing or dance
right?
anymore because I don't know. I think it was my own little world,
yeah.
you know. Just I did also in that general time frame also write a letter to Elvis asking him to marry me.
Oh,
he was already married, but I was, you know, just wanting to get on the waiting list there.
Yeah, get on the waiting list. I was like, did he answer you?
Oh. No, I don't think my mom ever actually mailed that.
Oh. So. That's funny. I sent a letter to Orlando Bloom one year because
did you?
I read in this teen magazine that he had the same birthday as me. And I was like, oh, this is my in, you know? And
right?
so I sent him a letter and I was like, we have the same birthday. And it's funny because I think I sent it in July, but I didn't have the patience to wait until January when my birthday
right,
was. So
right.
I was like, I'm just telling you happy early birthday. Yeah, I never heard from him
so
either.
Are you the early or late January?
I'm in the middle, the 13th.
Okay.
Yep. So I'm a Capricorn. I don't know if that's why you were asking, but
no, I just wonder because I have like my best friends at the end of December.
Okay.
And you know, sometimes the people whose birthdays are right near Christmas kind of are all, you know, oh, it's kind of cool, but it's also kind of a bummer. Like my daughter just graduated from high school day before yesterday.
Cool.
And then she turned 18 yesterday.
Wow.
And she was like the twofer, you know, it was like the first time we ever really ended up with a twofer other than Memorial Day birthday, which is always kind of a bummer for her, you know, because everybody's gone for the weekends or whatever.
Yeah.
But we made two distinct celebrations.
I love that.
To be able to do it. So that's why I was kind of wondering that.
But, that's cool. Well, congratulations to your daughter for graduating.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
She's the youngest, so it's kind of a
congratulations to you then.
Well, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited, but also it's just, you know, it's again, one of those changes, mm-hmm. one of those transitions. And mm-hmm. it actually brings to mind for me, you know, like if you noticed, I'm sure you have all of the storage units that have mm-hmm. popped up all over the Springs.
Oh my gosh.
It is incredible.
Yeah.
It is like, and that's, we were kind of discussing downsizing a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then we've already got a storage unit. Mm-hmm. And so I was this wondering, do you ever help people like unstore their stuff or?
At least once. I can remember one client I helped with their storage unit. But most people, what they're trying to do is get their house all in order so that then they can take stuff out of the storage unit. So it's kind of a process. And sometimes it takes people months or years to get to that place where they're ready to do that. And oftentimes storage units are things that people haven't seen for 10 or more years. Or another situation is, hey, my mom passed. I got all of her stuff and we just put it in a storage unit to deal with later. So to imagine going through that, they're just like short circuiting, you know, their brain's like, ooh. So
our storage unit is full of my father-in-law's tools.
Oh.
Like, you know, kind of woodworking tools and whatnot.
Yeah.
That we got when they downsized.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of like you kind of inherit all this stuff.
Yeah.
Then what to do? We don't have a shop.
You know?
But we also don't want to get rid of the tools. So that's interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, I really want to thank you for coming here and sharing yourself and sharing, you know, like, I don't know, just sort of your heart with us and your memories. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
If people here in town do want to get someone to come alongside of them, a friend to come alongside and help them sort through some things, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So if you go to my website, which is grace2organize.com, you'll find my Facebook on there, my contact information, and people can even set up a consultation through my website.
All right.
So they can do that virtually or in person and just, you know, ask specific questions about their space or their needs. So that's a great way just to, you know, connect.
Right.
So, yeah, that's probably easiest. Or they can call me at 719-396-1965.
And should they mention anything about today's program?
Yeah, I'd love to know where they came from and how they found me. Yeah.
All right, great. And what's the little quick story behind the name?
Okay, so my name, Carissa, the root of it is Charis, which is the Greek word for grace. So grace is like a nickname for me. Mm. But I also want people to know I'm not coming to your home to judge you. I want you to feel grace in every encounter before, during, and after our sessions. So it's just a nice way for people to see, like, I'm just here to help you. So lots of grace for you. Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Yeah. Carissa Woodward with Grace to Organize. Mm-hmm. Thank you for spending time with us here on A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood.
Yeah. Thanks for brightening my day.
Brighter Day Law are an experienced and qualified team of divorce and family law attorneys. Their aim is to help you get through that emotional and challenging time of divorce and other family disputes. The mission of Brighter Day Law is to compassionately help families resolve their disputes with personalized legal representation while keeping the best interest of the entire family at heart. Their attorneys handle all kinds of family law cases, including child custody, divorce, high asset divorce, mediation, and alimony. Brighter Day Law, compassionate counsel in dark and stressful times. 225-4493 or at brighterdaylaw.com. This has been A Brighter Day in the Neighborhood, presented by Brighter Day Law. Heard every Sunday at 11 a.m. on KPPF, 98.5 FM, 1040 AM, and 95.7 FM. Listen to the companion podcast on Podbean.